Now may we look at the three words spoken by our Lord before the darkness fell at noonday. The three words are, first of all, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Second word, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke 23 and verse 43. Third word, woman, behold thy son. And to the disciple, behold thy mother. John 19, verses 26 to 27. Our blessed Savior hung upon the cross for 3 hours before the amazing supernatural darkness fell. It was as though he hung suspended there in broad daylight so that all the world may know that he was assuredly nailed there. In that light, man made jest of him. He was despised and rejected of men and made the butt of their ridicule. The intensity of man's hatred was there demonstrated. It drew the disguise off man's religious, educated, and civilized face, all of which the Jew represented, and exposed a soul overflowing with all the malignity of wickedness. In these 3 hours of light, in which the Lord hung a spectacle before the world, he uttered three of what we call the seven words of the cross. The first one was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This was the divine purpose to the utmost of man's wickedness. There was no reproach, no complaint, no condemnation of the crucifiers. The day of God's vengeance was not yet come, for this was still the time of love. Israel had failed in its responsibilities. The nation had proved false to the divine nature, expectation, and purpose. The cross now closed out the former dispensation, and God's dealing with Israel as a special nation was now suspended. But salvation would be open to one and all in that rebellious nation, so that a remnant of Israel would be saved in this present age of grace. The Lord judged that they know not what they do. They were blind to the heinous nature of their offense. It may have been a reference to the great crowd that came out of curiosity, as crowds will come to such an event. But even the earth trembled at this crime against the Son of God, and the heavens frowned with preternatural darkness. The cross reveals man's deformity and exhibits his foolishness. It is man's supreme folly, man's greatest offense, and does but show man's utter ignorance of things divine. Not to this man, but Barabbas, they cried. They hated me without a cause, said the Savior. But all man's sin can be forgiven through that very sacrifice the Lord Jesus was making on man's behalf. This is our Lord's prayer, that man may accept the forgiveness of God. And this is what was declared by Peter after the Lord's resurrection and ascension. Acts 3, 17 to 19. And maybe it is that the Lord's prayer here was directed against those that were present at the crucifixion, and that that prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were converted, and later on 5,000, and many priests were added to the Lord, so that this prayer may well have been answered, may well have been directed to those that were present at his cross, at his crucifixion, and answered on the day of Pentecost and in the early days of the church. The cross provided the Lord Jesus with an opportunity more fully to express his love for mankind. Forgiveness is a very big thing, and opens the way for every other blessing. When the mountain of sin is removed, then God's favor can be manifested. It takes away the curse of the law and the terrors of future judgment. This forgiveness was so great, especially because of the extreme unworthiness of those for whom he prayed. The Jerusalem sinners were the most wicked of all sinners, more so than even those of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord prayed for their forgiveness, and many who were present at the crucifixion were later converted. Second word to the repentant dying thief on one side of him: today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, was the dying prayer of one who first had cast reproaches on the Savior while crucified alongside of him. Both the thieves had levied their insults. The enmity of wickedness comes out in crucifying our Lord between two wicked men, so as to cover him with shame and make his name the more infamous. Both these men were malefactors, that is, common thieves. One would expect them to have some feeling of sympathy while suffering the same death, but no. Yet a complete transforming change came to one of them. In these last few moments, God turned his heart in true repentance and saved his soul, like one taken as a brand from the everlasting burnings. It was a singular instance of the power and grace of God toward the chief of sinners. It was like David snatching a lamb from the mouth of a lion. The genuineness of this man's conversion was attested by the fact that, first, he judged himself and told out in a few words his great sorrow for sin, full proof of his sincerity. Secondly, he justified God and rebuked the other reviling malefactor. This was genuine repentance and genuine love, which now shrank from the injustice placed upon the Savior. This is the way to salvation, before looking to the Savior. This man knew he himself deserved to die. As David said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Psalm 51 and verse 3. So with this repentant thief, he justified God and felt the burden of his own sinfulness. Now, in justifying God, this thief did so publicly. We receive, he said, the just recompense for what we have done. His confession was in the presence of a multitude of bitterest enemies. He owned his own condemnation to be just, which is giving glory to God. And that it was made before he made any plea for mercy. That repentance was then accompanied by earnest prayer. Lord, remember me. It was brief enough, but full and comprehensive, and came out of his heart. Then came our Lord's gracious word. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was granted him that day, the same day, he was to be with the Lord among the blessed. So did he find eternal comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third word, to Mary, he said, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, no doubt John, behold thy mother. The first woman was deceived in the Garden of Eden. Here, three women, all named Mary, are at the cross, and there with the utmost sympathy. But these verses have special reference to the Lord's mother Mary. The Lord at his birth had partaken of her very substance in the flesh. The wise men had given her no worship. And Simeon had blessed only the parents, but not the child. For the less is blessed of the greater. Simeon needed to be blessed of Christ. He blessed the parents, Mary and Joseph. That is the foster father. Hebrews 7 and verse 7. The less cannot bless the greater. Hence Simeon could not bless the child. Mary was now losing him. But in the parting, he handed her over to the care of his beloved disciple John. John would provide for her. It was an act of tender love and care. What an amazing thing that in the midst of infinite sufferings, the Lord could stop, as it were, and provide for the future comfort of Mary and of his disciple John. They were to care for each other. The Lord Jesus came into the world, as we all come into it, born of a woman, that he might have a link with womanhood. Born a man, that he might have a link with manhood. Born a child, that he might have a link with childhood. This was a touch of his tender care for womanhood. And from that moment, from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. John chapter 9 and verse 27. These were the three words spoken in the light before the darkness fell at noonday. Now listen to the words of Elizabeth Clefane. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat, and the burden of the day. O safe and happy shelter, O refuge tried and sweet, O trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me a ladder up to heaven. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I seek no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Amen. Amen.